that'll be glorifying and honoring to the Lord, and we'll be able to use it, you know, missionaries and preachers passing through, be able to stay there. So appreciate that. Brother Sample, so glad you're here, brother. Come preach to us.
Okay. Amen. Thanks, brother. Okay. All right, let's take the Word of God this afternoon and go to back to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and I think I'm good there. If I need to do anything about this. Okay, great. Matthew chapter number 25. Now, be honest, how many usually takes a nap on Sunday afternoon? Would you raise your hand? All right, okay, that's some of you. How many's a little sleepy right now? Would you raise your hand? All right. And I saw Grant there. I told Grant, I said, Grant, you want to preach tonight? He said, no, I can't even read. I said, okay, all right. So I guess that's fair enough, you know. So now, I think there was a police car out here. Do we have a police officer in? All right. Or, what, two of them? Or, okay, all right. Okay, very good. I've got to know the police officers in our town on good basis. All right, I just want you to know that. And we have, of course, a small town. And I don't know how it is around here, but for funerals in our area, the police still come out, stop traffic, lead us to the graveside. So I've got to know them really well. And I'll tell you this story. And they told me that this is true. All right. Now, in our church, when we first came there, we had moved there from Illinois. All right. Peoria, Illinois. Very liberal, you know, gun laws, terrible, all of that. So I told our church when we first came there, I said, man, I'm excited about this. You know, at that time, I said, I'm going to get my concealed carry. This is going to be good. I'm looking forward to this. Well, after church, I saw a side of our church that I did not know and kind of scared me afterwards. So my wife and I are standing in the back after I'd preached that morning, and I had people come by and say, hey, preacher, you look at this. You know, show me their 45, or ladies opening up their purse showing me their 38 special in there, and just all kinds of stuff. So anyway, that's kind of a big thing in our church. But one day, I had a police officer tell me we had a funeral, and he was waiting for us and all that. And he said, hey, preacher. He said, you hear about that lady in town? I said, no, tell me about it. He said, she was a grandma in town, 91 years of age, going through town in a Cadillac, speeding through town. So he obviously stops her. And, of course, he ran her plates. At that time, he knew that she was concealed carry, which was kind of funny, you know, because here's a grandma in a Cadillac speeding through town and all of that. So when he came to the window, he said, I asked her, I said, ma'am, I see your concealed carry. Do you have a weapon on you today? And he said, just like that, she reached over and she pulled a 45 semi-automatic, said, yes, sir, I have this right here. Before he could say anything else, she'd open up the glove box and pulled out a 38 special. And then before he could say anything else, she reached underneath the seat and pulled out a 9mm. And he looked at the woman, he said, ma'am, what in the world do you have to be afraid of? And she looked at the 45, the 38, and the 9mm, said, not a thing in this world, you know. And so, now, I'm going to find that lady and get her in my church. You know, I like her. Put her on my security team, you know. So, but anyway, we have a lot of fun, and it's a blessing. Well, thank you for your kindness to my wife and I. We've enjoyed already getting to know you, and the meal was great. I really appreciate all the work. I kind of feel bad. We get to come in and enjoy all the labor, and your effort. So thank you. I'm looking forward to seeing the camp tomorrow and excited about that. Matthew chapter 25, and I will not be long. I'll do my best to get right into the message here. And I pray that the Lord would use this message in our lives. I want to preach to you this afternoon on this subject, God's call for faithfulness. God's call for faithfulness. And the question is, will you answer God's call for faithfulness? I enjoyed the testimonies that were given here, and what I enjoyed immensely was the testimonies of people being faithful. Aren't you thankful for faithful Christians? Christians that just stay with it. Christians that are faithful. You ought to be thankful that you have a pastor who is a faithful man. There has a lot in the Bible to say about faithfulness. We come to Matthew chapter 25. Now, let me prepare you. This is a parable. Now, you say, what is a parable? Well, someone once said that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's an earthly story that we can gain great insight from this story that the Lord would tell. So Matthew chapter 25, let's begin in verse number 14. The Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants, look at this, and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. This afternoon, God's call for faithfulness. Now, what comes to your mind when you think of faithfulness? It might be a pastor who has been faithful to do what God has given him to do. It might be a missionary who has been faithful to serve on the field that the Lord has given to them. It might be a dad who has been faithful to take care of his family and to meet their needs. It might be a mother who has been faithful to love her husband, to submit as God has called her to teach and train her children. All of us might have different ideals about what we consider to be faithfulness. But God looks upon faithfulness as what His requirement is. By the way, you may not be famous, but you can be faithful. You may not be successful in the eyes of the world, but you can be faithful. In fact, did you know something about success? What often the world deems as success, God might consider to be no success. And often what the world thinks of what is faithfulness, God looks at it as unfaithfulness. In fact, brethren, I want to remember something. You can be considered successful in the eyes of men and not faithful in the eyes of God. I know this. I want to be a faithful man. I'm reminded of the verse in the book of Proverbs that says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Well, that's a true verse, is it not? You know, I played sports when I was in high school and you know, enjoyed soccer, enjoyed basketball, enjoyed track and all of that. And sometimes I will talk to my own boys about it. And you know what? It's amazing to me. I've become a better athlete since I was in high school, you know. And you know how it goes, you know. You look back, man, I was really good. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But listen to what it says. But a faithful man who can find. God says a faithful man, it's a rarity. But I believe this with all my heart. Faithfulness is possible for all believers regardless of their education, regardless of their abilities, you can be faithful. Young people, you can be a faithful Christian. Dad, you can be a faithful man. Mom, you can be a faithful mother. We all can be faithful. And let me tell you something. What God requires is faithfulness. I just want to be faithful. Now, I know when I come to a time like this message, especially in the afternoon, we've done afternoon services before, and I appreciate your faithfulness in coming here. It kind of reminds me, we were talking about presidents earlier, and I remember this true story about Franklin Roosevelt, FDR. And, you know, FDR, he was getting ready to have this big meeting where all the ambassadors come in. And he told his wife, he said, "Honey, I get so tired of these meetings." He said, "because nobody listens to what I say." You know, because they're supposed to stand there and greet all the ambassadors they come through. And he said, "Honey, I'm serious. Nobody listens to what I have to say. They're just there for the pomp and circumstance. They're there for the meal, all of this stuff." He said, "Honey, I'm gonna do something today." She said, "Well, what are you going to do?" He said, "Well, I'm going to just whisper to them, I killed my grandmother this morning." True story. And he said, "That's what I'm going to do." So sure enough, he was standing there with his wife, and all these people are coming through, these ambassadors, and here's the first one coming over, and he leaned over and said, "I killed my grandmother this morning." And of course, they did what he thought. "God bless you, Mr. President. Keep up the good work," you know, all this kind of stuff. Until finally, he comes to an ambassador from Bolivia. He leans over, just like he said, and he said, "I killed my grandmother this morning." And the ambassador from Bolivia stopped, looked around, and whispered back to the president, "I'm sure she had it coming to her," you know? And, well, when I come to a message like this, I think, man, these dear people, they've been working, laboring, and then they're supposed to listen to me preach. But I appreciate your faithfulness. Brethren, faithfulness is possible for every believer. Let's look at some things here that I believe that God can use in our heart. I want you to notice where faithfulness begins. Where does faithfulness begin? Well, I believe it begins in the heart. You see, faithfulness is not about me working harder and harder. Faithfulness begins in the heart. And I'm talking about the private, secret place of our life where no one but God sees. That's where faithfulness begins, and that's really where it ends. You see, brethren, to be faithful to God where nobody else is looking, that's where faithfulness is. You see, it's easy to come to church, and it's easy to appear religious. It's easy to appear like a good Christian. And we've all done that before. You know, maybe, in fact, we might come to church, and we know in our hearts that we are not right with God. We can put a smile on our face. We can come into the building, and nobody knows, but God knows what's going on in our heart. And let me tell you, when we are faithful to God, to walk with Him, to know Him, to love Him, to be faithful to God when no one else is looking, but we know that we must walk with Him and have integrity before God, that's where faithfulness really is. Brethren, are you faithful to God where God only can see? And really, really, the great battle is our private life. That's the great battle. It's not what we are doing on the outside, not necessarily what we are saying that matters the most. What matters is what we are privately before God. Years ago, I heard the story on October the 25th, 1999. One day, there was a twin-engine Learjet that taxied down the runway in Orlando, Florida, and it was heading towards Dallas. Of course, the plane took off and it had people on board, passengers. Everything seemed to be fine, but somewhere over Gainesville, the plane should have made a left kind of veering turn heading towards Dallas, but instead it veered off course towards South Dakota. Something was wrong. In fact, the air traffic control began to make attempts. "What's going on? You're off course and you're not on the course you should be on." Silence. Nothing there. Until finally, two F-16s were dispatched to go and to look at this plane to find out what was going on. And as one of the F-16s got close to this Learjet, noticed that all of the windows were iced over. No doubt it had lost its cabin pressure, and everybody on board was already dead. Now you say, well, preacher, what does that illustration mean? I want you just to take, for instance, that if you were somewhere standing on the ground that day, and you looked up and you saw that Learjet going like you thought it should be going. You know what you might have thought? Look at that. I bet that those people are going to have a great time. When what you don't know is inside the plane is death. What you don't know, everything on the outside looks fine, but what you cannot see is deep within inside that plane. Brethren, I think that's sometimes how Christians are. We look good on the outside, but on the inside, things are not right with God. We have allowed things to creep into our life that should not be there. And faithfulness begins in the heart. That's why family camp is so important. You know why? Because it's surgery for the heart. It's dealing with the private, secret place of our life, only where God can see. And brethren, nothing is more important tonight than to be right with God in the private, personal area of our lives. Number one, this afternoon, let's talk about the responsibility of faithfulness. Now, if we are going to be men and women of faithfulness, I want you to see the responsibility. Go back to our text, Matthew chapter 25, and I want you to look in verse number 14. Look what it says. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Now, you know who that is? That's a picture of Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to bleed and die for the sins of all mankind. He traveled into a far country. Look what it says. Who hath called his own servants, and look at this word, and delivered unto them his goods. That's a very important phrase. Do you know that every one of us here, we have responsibilities that we are to be faithful to God in? Now, for instance, God has entrusted you with a variety of responsibilities. It may be in the form of gifts or abilities. It might be family responsibilities, job responsibilities, ministry responsibilities. And let me tell you something. The word here given in verse number 14 is delivered. Here's the emphasis. God has given you certain things to be faithful in. For instance, do you know that as I look at my wife, we'll be married 27 years next month. I'm thankful for my wife, and we love being together. But can I tell you something? I am responsible before God to be faithful to my wife, because I must look at it this way. God, in a sense, has delivered me this gift. I am to cherish my wife, as the Bible says. And God has, she is a gift from God to me. That's how I am to look at my spouse, that she is a gift. The Bible tells us about children. What are children? Children are the heritage of the Lord. That means God's children that you have are God's gift to you. And if we look at our life that way, it changes everything. Because that means this: God's given this to me. God has entrusted me with this responsibility. He has delivered unto me His goods. And I am to be a steward. I am to be faithful in whatever God has put into my hands. Now look, I'm not the pastor of this church. Pastor McGovern, God has delivered unto him the responsibility of this church. In fact, do you know that God, He will stand before God one day and give an account of the stewardship of this church? I'm going to stand before God one day and give an account of the stewardship of my church. I have to be right with God and be faithful to God in that matter. But brethren, no matter who you are here today, God has delivered unto you His goods. And He expects you to be faithful with what He has given to your hand. I am not going to stand before God with your responsibility. Now, by the way, you know, sometimes we compare ourselves with other people, and the Bible says it's not wise, because I'm not going to give an account for what someone else has done. I'm going to give an account for what God has delivered into my hands. Now, by the way, we all have responsibilities that have been assigned to us by God. In fact, I believe we have two different types of responsibilities. You want me to give them to you? The first one is responsibilities you enjoy doing, and the second one is responsibilities you don't enjoy doing. We all have those, do we not? I mean, there's certain things, I'll just be honest with you, I don't enjoy doing. I'd rather do something else. I'd rather do what I enjoy doing. But a faithful man or a faithful woman does what God has given them to do, whether they feel like doing it or not. It's not based on their feelings. It's not based on what they enjoy themselves. And by the way, when you do enjoy doing what God gives you to do, I'll tell you, that's where true happiness and that's where true success is. In fact, men, you are responsible to be the loving leader of your home. God's entrusted you with your home. Men, you're to provide for your family's needs. Parents, you have a responsibility to teach your children God's Word. You know what? I don't put that on the pastor. The pastor's going to preach and teach, but my children, that's my responsibility. Kids, you are to honor and to obey your parents. For this is good. This is right in the sight of the Lord. If you work, you are to be a faithful employee or an employer at work. We are to actively participate in our local church. We are to give our tithes and we are to proclaim the good news of salvation. Every one of us, God has delivered certain things into your hand and you are to be faithful. You know what? This week at camp, can I tell you something? God has delivered to me the responsibility of preaching His Word. Now, you don't want me cooking the food. I'm going to tell you that right now, all right? You don't want me doing that. You don't want me doing certain things. I'm not gifted in that. Some of that I don't want to be gifted in, you know? But God has entrusted that. What has God delivered unto you? And by the way, you'll notice back in verse number 14, that word delivered. That word means He's entrusted something with you. I want you to look at every responsibility you have as from God. God Himself said, son, daughter, here's what I've given to you. You may not like it, but this is what I put into your hand. I've delivered unto you. And by the way, you go to verse number 20. It says, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Verse number 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Now here's what I think is significant. The first 2 men that had the 5 talents and the 2 talents, they acknowledged that they had been delivered. God, that the Lord had delivered unto them those talents. But the wicked one, the one who had won, never acknowledged that. He never said, well, I know what you delivered unto me. He only gave excuses. We see, number one, the responsibility of faithfulness. Number two, I want you to notice the reckoning of faithfulness. Now look at this verse. Verse number 16, and I want you to see this because it's very important. Verse number 16, it says, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord money. And verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Now, I grew up in Tennessee. We used to often say, well, I reckon so. But that's not the word that's used here. The word reckoneth simply means this. It means to settle accounts with them. It means settle accounts. For instance, when you go to a restaurant, you know what you will do? You can order whatever you want. That's a great thing, isn't it? But guess what? At the end, you know what? You're going to reckon with the waitress. The waitress is going to say, here's your bill. We've got to settle accounts. You know, you can't just walk out and say, nah, I changed my mind. No, you now have something to settle. You have to settle an account. You know, when you go, let's say, for instance, that you go to some restaurant, you can order whatever you want. You can eat whatever you want. But at the end, you must give an account. And brethren, let me tell you this. There is coming a day when every one of us is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, you know what it says in 1 Corinthians? It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I am going to stand before God one day. And I will be honest with you. I don't know if there's a more sombering and sobering thought to think of standing toward Jesus Christ. Listen, on that day, you cannot give any excuses because they won't do. You cannot bring people to, you know, count for you or to say things in your behalf. You must give an account before the one who knows all things. And there is coming a day, like it was for these men, that the Lord said, now let's reckon. It's time to settle the accounts. Brethren, you and I will be held accountable for fulfilling our God-given responsibilities that God has entrusted to us. Now, by the way, here's what I think is interesting in Matthew chapter 25. You take those two men. One had 5 talents, all right? That's a measure of money. The other one had 2 talents. And they went and invested their Lord's money. It wasn't their money. It wasn't their goods. They invested it and they had a return. But the one, can I tell you what this man did? This man hid his Lord's money in the earth. And can I tell you, all he could give was excuses. Can I tell you that the greatest obstacle to faithfulness is laziness? Now, we don't want to talk about laziness, but that's true. You see, I believe one of the chief characteristics of a lazy Christian is that they are full of excuses. For instance, what about the phrase, I can't forgive him? What about the phrase, I can't stop that habit? Do you know what I found? Most of the time when we use the phrase, I can't, we really should say, I won't. That's really what that is saying. I'm not going to do it. I am making a decision not to do it. Think about Adam and Eve. I mean, think about the garden. You remember when God came to them after they had taken the forbidden fruit? What did Adam say? Lord, it's the woman which thou gavest to me. Lord, it's her fault. What did Eve say? Lord, it's the serpent. He's the reason. So often in life, we don't really want to accept responsibility. We want to give excuses. And here we find that we have an accountability before God. I know this. Every one of us has our own individual accountability before the Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren, can I tell you, that helps me. Because, look, a lot of people maybe don't approve of you. But can I tell you this? All that matters is that Jesus is pleased with my life. That's all that matters. That's all that matters is that I'm doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a Christian school at our church, and it was there when I came there. But we have basketball teams. We do it differently. We don't play outside schools and things like that. We just do intramural sports, and we have homeschool kids come in and play with us. We have a great time. And we do uniforms. We do all that kind of thing, and it's just a blessing, and I enjoy it. A lot of times I'm a ref or a coach or whatever it may be. We all get involved to be a part of this. And this happens every season where little boys, man, they're playing, they're working, and they make the basket. And you know what? I'm their preacher. And they don't look at me to see if I'm happy. You know who they look for? Dad or mom in the stands. They look for their approval. And I've often seen dads do this. Good job, son. You know? Good job, buddy. Way to go. Mom screaming, crying in the stands, you know, things like that. Dad's like, that's my son there, you know. And, you know, kids, they want that approval. And there's something about that. But brethren, can I tell you something? All you need this afternoon is to know the approval of Jesus Christ. We have an accountability before God. We see here the reckoning of faithfulness. Meaning, there's coming a day we will stand before God and we will give an account. The third and last thing that we notice this afternoon is the reward of faithfulness. Now take your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want you to see something that I think is so important. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Now remember, back in our text, remember the one that had the 5 talents. Remember the one that had the 2 talents. Remember the phrase that they came and they had invested. They had taken care of the Lord's responsibility. I mean, it was His goods. They knew that, Lord, You've delivered unto me Your goods. And here they are. You remember what the Lord said to those servants? Both of them. It did not matter the size. It did not matter how much. What mattered was this. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now understand, we're only good because of Jesus, all right? We're only good because of His cleansing, His washing of our sin debt, but faithfulness. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Brethren, I don't know about you, but one day I want to stand before God and I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And can I tell you something right now? It doesn't matter really what you've done in your life, all the success. But if we live life and do not hear that at the judgment seat, you think about the sorrow. That's why I believe God says He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Because, brethren, I believe there will be some at the judgment seat that will weep that they did not give their life fully to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Christians. And by the way, the great song that we sing, "By and by, when I look on His face, thorn-shadowed face, I wish I had given Him" what? "More." Nobody will stand there that day and think, "I sacrificed too much." Years ago, there was a man in my church. His name was Phil. He was a big man, tall, strong, and just a good man. He was a friend to me. And I'll encourage you with something. Be a friend to your pastor. He needs friends. And he was kind of like a guy. He told me, "This kind of guy you want in your church." He said, "Preacher, anybody gives you trouble, I'll take them and beat them up." I said, "I like you, you know." So anyway, you know, he was that kind of guy. And he was not doing well physically. And one day I went to the hospital to see him, like I saw him many times. And he loved me and I loved him. And one day he looked at me and said, "Preacher, can you close the door?" I said, "Sure." And I closed the door and he said, "Doctors have told me I don't have long to live." And he began to cry. Now, for him to cry, he was a strong man, kind of a, you know, he was tender, but I never saw him cry. And he started to cry. And he said this. He said, "Preacher, I've never told anybody this, but when I was a teenager, God called me to preach." He said, "But I was scared." He said, "I grew up poor and I didn't want to be poor. And I grew up watching the struggles my own preacher went through and I didn't want those struggles. And I ran from God." Now, I'm going to tell you something. He was a good man. He was faithful in our church. But he went to his grave knowing that he had not done what Jesus wanted him to do. And I'm going to tell you something today. You and I, we're going to stand there that day. I'm going to stand before God. You're going to stand before God. And look, you're not going to be judged according to someone else's standard. You're going to stand before God with what He delivered unto you, His goods. There's coming a reckoning day, but there's coming a reward. Listen, I'm thankful for the reward of faithfulness. You know what? There's coming that day. And I want you to listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians. Notice what this passage in chapter 3 and verse number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. Well, can we just back up here? Let me read a few verses, all right? Verse number 6 says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Now, remember that phrase. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Look here, brethren. It takes everybody. It takes the church. We have people that get saved in our church, and you do too. But who gets the reward for that? Just the preacher who preached the gospel message? No. Can I tell you who gets a reward? Every man, according to his own labor, he gets his own reward. Can I tell you who else gets a reward? The nursery workers. They really get a reward, all right? Changing the diapers and keeping the kids safe. What about the people who drive the buses? They get their own reward according to their own labor. What about the ushers? What about the musicians? What about the choir members? They get their own reward according to their own labor. What about the man who gave the gospel tract to that person? Before that, he gets his own reward according to his own labor. Brethren, let me tell you something. Every one of us can be faithful to God. faithful with what He has put into our hands. And I'm going to close by saying this. Brethren, the greatest concern of every Christian should be to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God's call this afternoon is to be faithful. Will you just be faithful? Now, let me close by saying this. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." Now, I love that verse because I want you to know something. I can't be faithful in my own strength. I can't do it. I'm not able to be faithful, but faithful is He. You know, I serve the One who is faithful. Jesus Christ is the faithful one. Hudson Taylor said this, "God is not looking for men of great faith. He is looking for common men to trust His great faithfulness." He went on to say, "All of God's giants have been weak men and women who have gotten a hold of God's faithfulness." Brethren, it's not really about me striving to be faithful. No, it's looking to the faithful One. It's trusting Him. It is putting my faith in Him day by day. It is, as the Bible says in John chapter 15, that Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." You know what the key today is? We must be faithful to Christ, abiding in Him, clinging to Him, drawing nigh to Jesus. "For without me," Jesus said, "ye can do nothing." Brethren, you can be a faithful man. You can be a faithful woman. And by the way, let me tell you something about faithfulness. Faithfulness. You say, "Preacher, I want to be a faithful husband." Me too. You say, "Preacher, I want to be a faithful dad." Me too. "I want to be a faithful pastor." Ladies, you want to be a faithful mom and a faithful wife. And young people, you want to be a faithful young person. There's lots of areas of faithfulness. But can I tell you this? Faithfulness to God settles all other areas where faithfulness is required. My wife and I first got married. I would pray, and I think it's a good prayer. I say, "Lord, I want to be faithful to my wife." I made a vow, a covenant to God that I want to be faithful to her. God, help me to be faithful. But I changed my prayer after a few years. You know what I prayed? "God, help me to be faithful to you. And if I'm faithful to you, I'll be faithful to my wife. I'll be faithful to my children. I'll be faithful to my church." God, help us to answer the call for faithfulness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we love you and we need you. Lord, we find this parable in your word about how that you've called us to be faithful. Lord, you delivered unto us certain goods. They're your goods. Lord, may we not waste our opportunities. May we not waste our God-given responsibilities. Help us tonight. Work in our hearts. Deal with us. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say this afternoon, "Preacher, God has spoken to me about areas in my life where I know that I'm not being faithful. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high?" That's me, preacher. God's dealt with me. Amen. Amen. How many would be honest and say, "By God's help, I want to be a faithful Christian"? Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? That's what you desire. Amen. Let's stand together, would you please? I'd like to have a word of prayer. As soon as I pray, the piano's going to begin to play. And if God has spoken to you, would you come? Maybe you'd just like to kneel at this altar and thank the Lord for being faithful to you, who enables us to be faithful to Him. Father, we pray you'll bless this invitation time. Thank you for these dear people working and laboring and being faithful this afternoon. Lord, help us in our faithfulness to Thee. We love and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The piano begins to play. If God has spoken to your heart, would you come? Amen. God's delivered unto you His goods. You have responsibilities. Be faithful. You're coming to that day when you will stand before God I'm coming to that day. And I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Faithfulness. You can be faithful because Jesus is faithful to you. He enables you to do what you can never do in your own strength. Look to Him. Look to Him. I love Hebrews chapter 12 where it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What Jesus began in you, He will complete it." He's the only one that enables you. Look away. Look away from everybody else. Look to Jesus. Trust Him.